What is the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute Monitoring Center?
Specifically, we are responsible for collecting data at 1,656 sites spaced throughout the province. Our primary responsibility is to go out into the field and do the data collection. We're responsible for training summer technicians to collect high-quality data that is repeatable year to year.
Greg, you've been involved in the monitoring center since almost the beginning. How far back does that go?
I started with, it was called the ABMP, the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Program, in 2005, and I've been here ever since.
What kinds of things have you done?
I was in the original crews that helped develop and test the protocols that are currently used. Some are no longer in existence because they just fell by the wayside. They weren't practical anymore, or better developments have come along since.
And now that you've been here for such a long time, what exactly is it that you're doing these days?
I started off as a technician, just like Nina, and I went up to a field coordinator. Now I am responsible for all of the operations that go on throughout the summer and the winter, kind of the voice of experience and reason when things get a little hectic, and they do get hectic.
Right now we're speaking in January. Are you preparing for the field season, or are there things that go on in the winter?
We are preparing right now for winter field work, which starts February 16th, where we deploy autonomous bird recorders and cameras to trap mammals. And we're still preparing for summer field work. It takes us longer to actually prepare for the summer field work than it does to do it.
And how many people might be involved in the summer field work?
I think this year we're hiring about 34 summer staff.
Nina, you came here actually originally as someone who was working on one of these summer field crews. What was it like for you?
It was actually very exciting. I had never been to Alberta before, so this is my first time in the province. I was based out of southern Alberta, so normally we have two bases, one in northern Alberta, one in southern Alberta. It was a lot to take in at first. We teach a lot of protocols, and we teach them well because we want the highest degree of data quality. So at first, to be immersed in so many different protocols and so much training, it's a little bit overwhelming at first, but it was a lot of fun, a great way to see the province.
Just looking at some of those protocols, what might they be and how would they govern the way that you collect your data?
For terrestrial specifically, we have two sets of protocols. We have spring protocols and summer protocols. Spring protocols involve soil collection, collecting moss and lichen, assessing trees, and then our summer protocols look at plant identification. We do habitat assessments. From a wetland standpoint, their protocols are only in the summertime. In the springtime, those technicians are helping the terrestrial field crews with our spring protocols, and they look at depth measurements, they collect aquatic invertebrate samples, and so on.
What is the importance of having protocols?
Well, biodiversity itself is a very complicated measure. It involves anything from just looking at species to their interactions to how they interact with a habitat. So collecting biodiversity data is very involved. So we try to implement protocols that will capture biodiversity as efficiently as possible. So these protocols have been decided by the Science Center as being the most effective ways to capture a good snapshot of biodiversity within the province.
And Greg, I would think that with the protocols and all the different areas on the grid that you have to sample, that you would definitely need consistency. Is that correct?
Consistency is huge, and we spend a lot of time training and guiding our summer technicians to do things over and over again consistently so that it can be reassessed and again in 5 years the same way that it was done previously.
And how often is it that you go out to these different areas?
We hopefully try to visit a site every 5 years.
With over 1,600 spots across the province, have you actually hit them all, or are you working your way towards that?
No, we're working our way towards all of the sites. There's obviously more focus on some other specific areas of the province, and we have focused a lot on those and have visited those sites a couple times.
What is the point of even gathering this information?
to monitor change over time. So we go to a site, we collect a whole bunch of data, and we'll go back in 5 years and see what's changed over the landscape.
It's quite an undertaking. My understanding is that what the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute does is actually quite unique in the world. Is that correct?
I believe it is one of the largest undertakings of this type in the world. I know there's some other biodiversity monitoring institutes across the globe, but nowhere near this size.
You were involved in helping to develop the protocols in the beginning. How have you seen things change over time?
The equipment's got a whole lot lighter. Things are far more efficient due to technology. And we have a whole pile of experience from previous years backing us up, so things become way more efficient.
What I also find impressive is how much information you're collecting. From what Nina said, you're looking at soils and plants and fungus and animals, all kinds of different things. Can you just explain that a little bit more to me?
Yeah, we do collect a lot of samples. I'm not sure the exact number of samples that we collect, but it takes our technicians a whole month in August to sort all of these samples that we collect for experts to identify.
Can you list the different things that you do collect?
We physically collect moss and lichen, vascular plants. In the soil samples that we collect, we are sampling, a portion of that sample is for springtails and mites, which are microscopic insects. The wetland side, we collect for invertebrates, so water bugs. We do collect some physical tree data to age the trees and get some stand composition, and water samples.
What would the water samples tell you?
They tell us quite a bit of stuff. So some of them have the water bugs in them, and then the other stuff we collect is for pH and just different water chemistry and nutrients.
So, Greg, with all the information that you're collecting, being out there in the spring and the winter, have you discovered any new species?
We have discovered some new mites and springtails that are new to science. Some are new to Alberta. Some are new to Canada. We did find some lichen up north that was thought to be extinct at one point.
Right now, because it's winter, you are going to be putting out some cameras. Is this something new for you?
Last year was the first year that we put out cameras to replace mammal tracking, where we physically went out and walked a 10-kilometer transect and basically wrote down all of the tracks that came across that line. Whereas it's replaced now by cameras, where we put them out in February, the cameras stay out and capture hopefully all the mammals in the area from February until the end of July, which is significantly more.
So how much information are you actually capturing?
Well, for the bird recorders that we put out in February and pick up in July, last year we collected over 10 terabytes of data of birds, hopefully. And last year for cameras, there was over 3.7 million pictures of all kinds of mammals from all over the province.
So it's one thing to collect all that information, but who processes it? What do you do with it?
The bird recordings actually go to a new unit that the ABMI has partnered with, and it's the bioacoustical unit. And all of the camera pictures are initially tagged by ABMI technicians.
Do you have any idea what happens to the information from the cameras?
Oh, it's a very new process. So as Greg said, the initial tagging is done by the ABMI.
So you're at the point where you're figuring out what to do with this, is that correct?
Yeah, as Greg mentioned, it is on a provincial-wide scale, it is new to us. So, and it is a lot of data that comes in compared to what we used to get. So we're still working at what we do.
So do you get the animals performing for the camera?
Sometimes you think so. Yeah, when you see a mother bear and a cub posing there and the mother bear is looking very proud, it's almost like a family portrait. Sometimes we get photos of bears playing with the cameras, pulling on the lock, biting, and that's interesting to see. But it's very exciting to go through all the photos and see what we do capture. Sometimes we get fairly rare sightings of cougars or wolverines, which was very exciting to see this year.
And any new discoveries that you're aware of?
I do know that in 2013, we discovered 6 new species of mites, one of which is called Oribitella abemi. So that's what comes with being out there throughout the whole province, collecting data at some locations that most people don't get to go to.
So is there anything that the ABMI has done through your center, the monitoring center, that is really innovative, along with putting out the cameras in the wintertime?
Sure. With the deployment of the cameras and the ARUs, the autonomous bird recorders, there come a slew of innovations in terms of how to mount these in various areas throughout the province. So because our sites are located throughout the entire province, we're having to deploy these units in the boreal forest, in the prairie, sometimes on the edges of wetlands. So we've had to develop protocols where we can affix these units throughout various landscapes. So for example, in a pasture, we're dealing with cattle on a day-to-day basis, and cattle tend to be very curious and very itchy, so they like to rub on the units. So in a pasture, we usually mount the bird recorders and the cameras on a post, and then we surround that post with an agronomy cage so it keeps the cattle from disrupting the units while they're recording. And for example, in very wet areas, we mount the units on a post that's affixed to a tripod, so when the ground gets really soft and wet, the recorders don't fall over. That's kept us fairly busy. In terms of image tagging and for the cameras, this isn't specifically something the Monitoring Center has developed, but ABMI in general has developed an auto recognition software that gets rid of images that have no animals in them. Sometimes moving leaves will trigger the camera and it will take an image or capture a photo. And we do have a software in place that recognizes that an animal did not trigger the photo and gets rid of those photos. And that saves a lot of time.
Nino, why is it important to collect this biodiversity monitoring information?
Well, Alberta is a very dynamic landscape and we can't stop the development throughout the province. So basically, better information leads to better decisions. So the Monitoring Center is out there collecting very relevant and very scientifically sound baseline data that will hopefully lead to better decisions as the land throughout Alberta is developed.
Greg, what do you see coming down the pipe in the future?
I'm impressed with the speed at which technology has move the ABMI along. I don't think I could hazard a guess as to what to expect, because if you were asked me 10 years ago, autonomous recording units were not even a thought. Cameras replacing winter tracking was a huge step forward in technology, and it just makes things a whole bunch easier.
What keeps you doing this?
There's something different every year. We have the same old problems and issues with access, but there's always something new that comes up every single year when you get 40 different personalities from all over the country together. Every year is different. The protocols are the same, but the people are different. And the issues that we run into as we expand across the province where we've never been, and a lot of people have never been, it just proves more challenges and more solutions that we need to come up with.
Thank you very much, Greg.
You're more than welcome.
And thank you very much, Nina.
You're welcome.